This is Heart of Mind. I'm Catherine Davis. Very, very happy to be with you this day. And it's beautiful outside at the moment. I've been enjoying the weather, though it's a little hot off and on. It's so nice to just have that freedom of movement and the sunshine radiating on your body. I believe it makes a tremendous difference in well-being. So for those of you who are not partial to the heat and the sun, give yourself a little bit of a break. Maybe go earlier in the day or a little bit later in the day, but try to get some full sunlight. Maybe it's sitting by a window that you have that gives you good light. And just absorb the rays and energies of the sun. Despite what we know and are hearing about issues with the atmosphere and the potential radiations that are coming through our atmosphere now, definitely you want to protect yourself. But I think that the sunlight has such a magnificent presence in our lives. And realistically speaking, we wouldn't want to just live our lives in the dark of night. There is a real energetic boost that comes with the actual rays of sunlight. And they are rays of life. It's with the sun that plants grow and flourish. And human beings also grow and flourish with the light of the sun. It's important that we do everything we can to maintain our well-being. There is some benefits to the night and to the moon and the stars as well. And I would say that as long as we're connecting with our entire system, there's going to be some benefit to some facet of our being. The moonlight, the night sky, tends to have more of an impact on our inner life and our inner world. And as we meditate with the moon or with the stars or just with that beauty of the night sky, it takes us into our own being. I had an interesting experience not long ago with some of my meditation practice. And as some of you know, I do teach meditation and Qigong. And as I was guiding through this practice, I began to seep very deeply into that meditation. So we have within our body, according to the traditions of Chinese culture and Chinese medicine, rather than chakras, something called Dan Tiens, which means life elixir or the elixir of life. And we have three primary Dan Tiens in the lower abdomen, the mid-chest, and in the brain or the mind. And they govern different aspects of our physiology, our emotional, our psychological, our nervous system. So everything can be governed or in some ways nourished by these energy fields within our body called Dan Tiens. And what I have always understood about the Dan Tiens is that they're more than just a ball of energy sitting inside your body. They're actually portals. And they're portals which transmit energies as well as information, as well as, I would say, a form of guidance that is derived from your genetic past, it could be, or perhaps it derives from your soul, wisdom soul family, and it derives from the other influences that we may have in our life. And what I like about this energy system is that it doesn't connect to the necessarily, I would say, connect to the prevailing thinking of the day, the prevailing philosophies, or the prevailing political ideologies. It's a very personal kind of interaction that's happening within your being. And I find that when we make that connection into the deeper self, it allows us to more clearly see, as we look out into the world, what belongs to the world and what belongs to us. And while there is an area, kind of a gray area of interface, that we can retreat from our daily issues, what may be causing us problems, from the perspective of going deep inside to discover potential solutions to those problems. I find that very often when we're in simply a political dynamic, it's all about an intellectual discourse in which people want to prove themselves correct and prove the other person incorrect. And what that does is it leads to an adversarial interaction that is kind of artificial, because it doesn't have at the root of it a search for truth or a search for understanding the dynamics. It becomes simply an effort to uplift and prove oneself to be most righteous above the other person in any given area of discourse. And when we live our lives in that realm of the seen and the heard, where we interact through our senses, from my vantage point, it seems quite an artificial experience. And we have a situation where people are one-upping themselves over the other, and it just creates a dynamic that is false, in that it doesn't reflect the true essence of our individual beings. And it creates an environment in which people have to fight for their sovereignty, have to struggle to bring forth their ideas or their beliefs in such a way that they can be part of a discourse where people can share different ideas and perhaps sway each other towards our point of view based on the principles of what's being shared, rather than being based on this system of one-upmanship or if not that, just basic control of other persons around oneself in order to feel good about oneself. So we have all of these, which I would consider to be artificial considerations taking part in the seen world, and the absorption of that interaction of trying to navigate this environment, a corrosive environment, we very often are not given or don't take the opportunity to really go deep within ourselves to see what truly governs our own sensibility of self. And as often as not, many don't even understand that there is this depth of being that they could tap into in order to understand where they are on a social platform such as we live our lives. So at any rate, I was doing this meditation, and I had experienced something similar a couple of times, but this time I really got the understanding of what these portals are. And I suspect that it's the same with chakras. For people who are following the traditions of yoga, while I'm following the tradition of Qigong, the underlying principles, the healing methods, the teachings are so similar. And you would find cultural differences. You would find different names for the same thing. You might find slightly different interpretations. But when you go into any of these traditions in depth, you'll find that there's a union in what they're transmitting to us. And the same is true in many of the traditions of other cultures, of the various spiritual African traditions, of the spiritual teachings of Mexico, the Aztecs and the Maya. And so there's this deep-rooted understanding of the journey of being human that comes to us through these traditions. And we live our lives separate from that because on one level these traditions have been tainted and manipulated to become tools for the power elites of the day, whatever that may be. And the true teachings are not available to most people. And what I've discovered, however, is that we have these deep understandings inside of our own being, so they're not only something that can be looked up in a book or something that you would hear from a pulpit, someone else's interpretation of these principles, that we can find very clear information within ourselves. And it's a matter of exploring these vistas of content that is very, very ancient, but also present, in that it brings the ancient knowledge and principles and gives us a way of using this ancient principle and in to assist us in interpreting how to navigate our lives based upon that rather than based upon whatever trends may be going on in our world. And I'm talking about it because I think it's really important for us as humans to understand that our current focus in this particular age that we're living in has us completely drawn out of ourselves and almost positioning our thoughts as existing outside of our body. So we're attentive to how people look at us, the tone that someone may be using towards us, whatever the attitude might be, whether or not we're receiving admiration or disdain, whether or not we can be accepted or not, so whether we're going to be judged or not. So all of our focus is as if We have to position ourselves outside, looking in, and we become, in a manner of speaking, our own jailers, because we're navigating the world by controlling our own behaviors so that we can conform to whatever the status of the day may be and receive these accolades of rewards and appreciation and love and high regard. And that positions us to always be struggling for those rewards, as opposed to that inward dive where we can understand something on a much deeper level and begin to advocate for ourselves based on what's coming through us. What is the potential gift we may have received through our life? Everyone has many. And what does that gift mean? Where is that leading us? Is that gift that we have a part of the mission we're bringing to the world? It might be music, it might be healing, it might be politics, it might be sports. And can we really just sink into that facet of our being that was birthed with us as a guiding factor, rather than being concerned with what anybody might think about that? And without being overly concerned about whether or not that gift or that motivation that is arising from within can be translated into revenue, which is a big part of our society right now, is that everything has to be translated into an income-producing stream. Granted, there may be the necessity for that, and I'm not debunking that, but the idea is to maintain that purity of essence so that even as you're presenting it to the world, you're presenting it in such a way that it's truthful and relevant to your initial call in that direction, in that action you may be taking. So all that being said, getting back to these portals, and what I understand them to be is that it is a pathway. So I'll try to describe it this way. A lot of people now are familiar with people who have had near-death experiences, and they experience this as moving through a portal. And if they make it to the other side, or sometimes within this portal, which is generally described as light-filled and love-filled experience, they might encounter ancestors or respected religious leaders or other kinds of counsel as they're making this passage to the full death experience. Well, I have discovered equally so that when we meditate and allow our awareness to move into these portals of energy, it's like that. It's like you're able to move through a channel of space that can take you into a deeper experience of yourself, as well as take you into deeper experiences of the surrounding wisdom that is a guidance in this particular life expression. And it helps to put you back in connection with your, I call it a local source. So I'm not talking about the big G God, however you might think about that. But if you think of yourself as having existed as an energy and as a being of awareness before being birthed through the canal of our parents, of our mothers, that we existed in some form as a consciousness. And when we come into the world, we come into it with certain tendencies and proclivities, attractions and talents. And it's almost like going into your garden and picking whatever fruits and vegetables you may want to have in a day and taking it into your kitchen and then making something wonderful with it, making a nice stew or a beautiful salad or a nice dessert. You take that core fruit, that sprout that comes out of the ground, and make something of it that you can have access to in your life. So I believe that we come into the world with these gems and fruits and influences and capabilities that are intended to blossom within our life into a fruitful experience or a learning experience, it could be, or an interaction of benefit and mutual support. So we have all of these potentials are born with us, and we come with it as an infant. We don't know what to do with it necessarily as an infant. And very often our lives are not reinforcing of those special truths and gifts that we're born with. And we end up going through a life within which we are contradicted and siloed into different pathways that may have nothing to do with what our pre-birth self, our soul being, had intended for this life to accomplish or to explore or to express. And I have found that when we go into that deeper meditation and we enter and engage within these inner fields of energy, that it's a two-way path, in the sense that yes, it provides the energy that circulates through our physical body, that allows the chemical processes to exist, that provides our physical life force and capacity to be here in the physical realm. And it serves very well in that regard. But also, when we go back into these pathways, we can begin to experience the raw essence of intention and purpose that is flowing into our life. So it's not an isolated ball of energy or just, you know, a particular configuration of energy. Like with yoga, they kind of look like flowers. In Qigong, to me, it's more like sunlight. A celestial body internally is what you would experience when you reach the point of connecting and seeing it. But it's not a ball. It is a dimensional space that you can flow into the internal energy and become more aware of the things that drive you. So if you are driven by music, let's say, you can move into one of these internal fields and begin to experience music itself as a living thing. That music exists as its own living life force, but it can only really be expressed if it flows through a being that can do something with music. If it's science flows back into that reality of how things are composited and created, and through the many millennia that life has been created, there is a science that is a living thing that was able to move through whatever the life form might have been. So maybe the early life form were just amoebas and little one-celled animals, but there's an intelligent force flowing through that that allows the experimentation of combining and creating through that simple life form until it evolved into more complex life forms. And out of those complex life forms, or at least the information of those complex life forms, it can move into more complexity and more complexity until we have a synergy that exists that created the environment that allows for a more intelligent life to exist within this environment. So what I'm suggesting is that there are forces of intelligence that predate actual physical life of any kind. And it's those forces that have flowed through time and have ultimately created what we are experiencing at this moment, living in a world with an environment and an atmosphere in all the right balance that allows the beings that are walking around within it to thrive. We basically have a perfect environment for the expression of physical life. Without getting into what we're doing to it, that's another story. But I have found that when I enter into this meditation, and if I'm not forceful with it and just allow that natural process to transpire, it's a little bit like being in a river and just being carried with the flow of the river. A river flows naturally downhill. And if you're wading in the river, you're going to go downhill with the water as it goes. Energy is a little bit like this. And so as you immerse yourself in energy, it will carry your awareness to a place where you can connect with a much deeper pool of wisdom and understanding. And in that path, and as we're flowing with that internalized river of energy, we are able to see some of the obstacles more clearly in that we've picked up along the way. And so some of these obstacles we experience in our life could come from the life experience that we're having right now. It could come from previous experiences. It could come from ancestral experiences. So we've inherited everything that came before us, whether that be in the natural world, whether that be in the social structures through time, whether that be through our particular family line. Excuse me. We are bringing forth that energy and that expression in our life. And though it can seem very confusing on its surface, when we allow ourselves to be immersed into that deeper stream coming through us, it brings much more insight into what we're dealing with in our everyday life. And whether or not it's useful, it depends on the kind of insight it can bring and our interpretation of that insight. But the fact that it's a possibility and a potential for us to understand that meditation is not always about quieting our mind, it's about leaving the mind, in a manner of speaking, and allowing the mind to do what it does. So the mind, from my vantage point, is essentially a mechanism that allows us to translate our perceptions into understanding. So if I were a native or an Aboriginal being, and I was able to touch plants and taste plants and interact with plants, so the brain is for that assessing of the interaction, taking that information in, calculating how we can use that information. The brain is for being able to perceive the emotions and the thoughts and the actions of others. The mind is for being able to represent ourselves in this environment in the best way possible for our own continued survival. So it has a very vital purpose. But the mind itself doesn't appear to be capable of that really, really deep discernment. That deep discernment comes rather from what we call intuition or instinct. And so what I'm suggesting is that we appreciate our mind, but we bring through our meditation another resource of information that the mind can use to integrate into our life so that we can live lives that better represent the truth of who we are, not thinking the mind can give us that. The mind doesn't give us that. What gives that is our much deeper connection and understanding of our full self. And what I have been experiencing is as these portals are opened in a two-way direction, that we can experience a flow of something that gives us another resource of interpretation. So if I'm in an environment in which I am feeling oppressed, say, there may very well be beings in the world who are attempting to oppress me, but my oppression isn't coming from that. It's coming from some experience at a deeper root where this energy of experiencing life under oppression is flowing through me from some kind of past experience or expression. And so when that deeper well of oppression comes through me, yes, I want to deal with the person in front of me who may be saying or doing something that's causing that. But the idea is to, okay, this person who I'm dealing with is making me feel oppressed. Is it my job to fight this person, or is it my job to quell within myself a sense of being oppressed? And so by going inward, it begins to make that distinction. And then when you can make the distinction that actually this sense of feeling oppressed is rising through my system, and I'm walking in the world with a sense of feeling overwhelmed and held down and oppressed, that I can recognize how much of it is actually coming from within myself, and how much of the other person who's being oppressive is a point of attraction based on what I'm carrying. So this is kind of an insight that comes from traveling inward. And not so much that I may know what incident in my life caused this sense of being oppressed. It's to be able to recognize when I go within my emotional patterns, which is kind of what this is, I could see this flow or stream, I can feel it, that the root of it is inside of me and not outside into the world. And the truth, this is true of many of our expressions, good, bad, or indifferent. The roots are inside of ourselves, so that it's almost as if we as beings walking in the world are an avatar of something much deeper quality that we have as beings, existences in the multidimensional world, reality, universe, experience. And so we can become more attuned to what's coming through us and taking it as guidance of, well, you know, let's not get into this game of arguing with my opponent over an issue so that I can feel better. And let's just let that go and go deeper within self and say, well, how can I come to resolve this issue within myself? And that's kind of dealing with problems, those kind of issues. But also it's to search for that which is our ultimate truth in terms of how we can be fulfilled within our life. What is coming through us? And then we can begin to honor that facet of our being for its own sake. And not feel like, well, if I can't make a buck off of this, if I'm not able to turn this into a money-making proposition, that it has no value. I think we have to value who we are and what we are for its own sake, because that's truly what life is for. It's to be able to really bring forth those deep-rooted expressions that are longing to come through our bodies, our hands, our eyes, our ears, to be able to express in the way that physical reality allows expression. And when we begin to flow into that, we become more fluid in this world that we're living in, which is a physical world. And as we become more fluid in this physical world, we don't have a sense of anybody being able to control us. We don't leave our spirit and our mind bereft of that internal sourced influence, and then we can become more readily influenced by people who are seeking to manipulate and control and guide us into these political silos, or guiding us into opinions that are based on falsehoods or manipulation of facts. And we can begin to see more clearly what's happening around us and begin to discover more readily when we're just being triggered and manipulated in our physical reality. In order to not do that, to be able to be truly free in this physical reality, we could only do that by being deeply sourced within ourselves. And I have been cultivating this through the practice of Qigong, but it can be cultivated through any kind of internally driven practice or understanding based on whatever culture you're in, or what your practice might be, or what your religion might be. And I began to suspect that that is really the root of a lot of the so-called religions we have at the moment. They were not really designed to be a source of conformity for the people, but were more designed for their esoteric purpose of being able to connect to that which is sourced within yourself, so that when we are interacting in the world, we're interacting with a much deeper resource of wisdom and with a much deeper resource of creative power, and we're protected to a great extent from the manipulating forces that are in our world. So rather than get on a soapbox, as so many of us do, and try to condemn people who are different or who have different belief systems, or for whatever reason are being led down a particular political silo, or towards a particular kind of judgment, condemning another group of people, that we begin to think of the need to really become deeply rooted in the essence of our true being, which is so much more than the physical reality we live within. And so I just wanted to share that particular insight. I'm sure many of you have heard this in other ways from other people and have come to your own conclusions and have your own methods for settling into that depth of being that each and every one of us is, so that we can learn to flourish in this life despite what is going on around us. And truly, I'm not a Buddhist, but this is to me the essence of what Buddhism and many of these practices that don't so much have priesthoods, but where individual beings make a choice that they're going to take this journey inward. And then they come out, I suppose, and are trying to teach other people to follow a path that they have discovered. And that's a worthy thing to do. But I feel that we can understand that we each have our own flow of this depth of wisdom inside of our own beings. And what we have in traditional Chinese thinking of the traditional Chinese medicine, Taoist philosophy, it's these three categories, the elixir fields, the dantians of the abdomen, the chest, and the brain or the mind. And while the dantians have a physical responsibility in upholding the physicality of our avatar and connecting with our nervous system and our emotions and our thoughts, the idea is for there to be a two-way flow of understanding so that we can bring counsel into our life with a modicum of trust that deep within ourselves we have this enormous resource that includes all of what we might think of as the intelligence that flows into the existence that we inhabit, the path of the stars, the flow of the seasons, the pulling together of the growing and the seasons and the expansion of spring into summer, and the closing down of the autumn into winter, where it's time to go inward again. And then we build that strength, and then the next spring we come out and flower. So there's a real intelligence to the environment that we live in. And I suspect that when we as human beings tap into that rhythm of intelligence that predates our physical existence, the physical existence of humanity and of all reality, that we can tap directly into that. The path is within, and it's not in a building necessarily, or in a temple necessarily. We can get insights from there, but the real depth of understanding is derived from within. And it's not that we have the expectation of actually tapping right into it and in an instant we know stuff, though that happens a lot. It's about opening the doorway. It's about allowing that deeper wisdom to seep through and become our underlying guidance and really navigation system, and cultivate over time a sense of trust, because that energy that's coming from within is you, it's me, it's us, it's our own portal from pre-existence to being in existence in a physical world. And that facet of our beings is completely committed to our life, completely committed to having that expression through our life, that sense of creativity, that sense of interaction, to be able to enjoy the physicality of being in love or eating food or being gentle or even being angry and fighting for something that matters. But we need to begin to do it from that internal guidance point so that we don't get trapped into the maze of media and manipulation and control, and we begin to walk our physical reality rather than as someone being shepherded from a force outside of ourselves. We become the guiding factor in how we walk and are inclined to be and exist within the world. So I would say, whatever your practice might be, give it your attention and allow the brain to do what it does well, but don't allow the brain to be the guiding force. There's something else that we have, and it's called awareness. It means that it's non-committed, non-judgmental, and just taking in the information, being able to perceive in depth what's going on within and around us. And so when we begin to build the muscle of awareness, that opens the door for self-discovery in that inward journey. But it also opens the door to a deeper understanding of our interactions, so that when you're dealing with someone, when I'm dealing with someone that I consider to be contentious, I'm not reacting to that contentiousness. I'm seeing the whole person, or at least that's the goal, that this radically contentious, problematic person is someone who's carrying the same kind of essence that I have, is carrying this deep well of understanding and motivation and need to bring forth that creative flow into the world. But what I'm seeing in this experience is a person who's cut off from that part of their reality, and they're spinning their minds in cartwheels and back and forth. That's why people say the same thing over and over again, because they're spinning these wheels of their mind and they're not having a depth of experience and understanding, but rather are picking up their cues from the public domain very often, or from whatever life experience has wounded them, and they're acting out in a way. Now, I'm not saying that it's okay to act out. It's dangerous. That's what wars are. People acting out dysfunction in a grand scale. But I think even in a situation where one finds it necessary to put up a defense, that we put up that defense with the understanding of the nature of what's happening in reality, and that we don't corrupt our own inner being by bringing forth prejudices and hatreds and misunderstandings, so that their clash becomes equally matched of two beings out of touch with the truth of who they are, fighting out a narrative in the physical realm, when we could equally be bringing forth some deep expression of beauty into our world. And that's what I would encourage us to at least bring into focus as an intention of bringing forth that beauty. And even in a contentious experience, to take a step back and not be drawn into the drama of it, and in so doing, lose the essence of who we are as amazing, sacred, multidimensional beings. Our beingness has a face, and that face is the one we see in the mirror. But when we look in the mirror, we don't see the brain, we don't see the heart, we don't see the stomach, we don't see our vessels. We don't hear the heart beating. We're not aware of the energy flowing. But just on the physiological level, there's so much that we don't see. And then when you go deeper than the physiology, there's even a vaster amount of what we don't see. But all that we don't see is the fullness of who we are. So when we look in the mirror and see our face, let's not be limited by that face. We could admire it, we can appreciate it, but to understand that it's just a covering for something, for a level of being that has enormous depth. And we can begin to live our life from that vantage point. So I'm going to play a bit of music.
Used to always more confused than telling me to choose, but there's only lies.